Parshas Yisroi and Parshas Mishpatim discuss Matan Torah. Rashi says at the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, Ve'elu Mishpatim, that the Vav is Moisif al Inyan Rishon, Ma Eilu Misinai Af Eilu Misinai. Parshas Yisroel and Parshas Mishpatim are basically one continuation revolving around the Inyan of Matan Torah. Parshas Truma, which is this week's Parsha, and Parshas Tetzave, which is next week's Parsha, discuss the Meleches HaMishkon, that which was involved in creating and building the Mishkon, and the Hakoma of the Mishkon, the actual physical construction of the Mishkon. That's followed by Parshas Kisiso, which basically discusses the Chet Egel. The Chet Egel took place at the time when Moshe Rabbeinu went up onto Har Sinai in order to be Mekabel Torah. And when Moshe Rabbeinu didn't return from Har Sinai at the point in time when Klal Yisrael had calculated that he should already return, they discussed amongst themselves the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu hasn't come back down from Shamayim, from Matan Torah, and they were scared that he wasn't ever going to come back, and therefore they made a decision amongst themselves that they said La'aseis lahem Elohim acherim, that they were going to create for themselves a god. Why they wanted to do this, what their intent was when they did this, what it actually means, create for ourselves a new god, that's something which one will have to discuss when one gets to the parasha of Parshas Kisiso. But that is the way in which the Torah describes the events. And Chazal are harshly critical of that which Klal Yisrael did. That they created an idol at the point in time when Moshe Rabbeinu is Bashamayim, being Mekabel Torah on behalf of Klal Yisrael, that Chazal describe it in very harsh terms. They compare it to a kala who is mezane tachas chuposo. Moshe Rabbeinu is up there in the Har Sinai in order to be Mekabel Torah, and Klal Yisrael down here are creating a Avodah Zarah. That's the equivalent, or that's the parallel, that can be comparable to a kala who does an act of znus at the time of her wedding. Which means that the Chet HaEgel was contemporaneous to the time in which Moshe Rabbeinu is Bashamayim receiving Torah. The timing of the Chet HaEgel is at the time of Kabbalah's Torah, which means something very strange. Chazal also say that the whole inyan of Meleches HaMishkon and Hakomas HaMishkon was a kapara for the Chet HaEgel. Now again, how it's a kapara for the Chet HaEgel, how it works, why, what the connection is between the Hakomas of Mishkan and the Meleches HaMishkan and Chet HaEgel is something which has to be discussed when we get to those parshas. But Chazal established it as a fact that the Meleches HaMishkan and the Hakomas HaMishkan is a kapara for Chet HaEgel, which then creates a very big problem and makes the whole Seder HaParshias very strange. Because if that's the case, then these Parshias are not in the correct order. Because the way in which the Parshias work, as we said, is Yisrei Mishpotim Kabbalas HaTeira. And if Chet HaEgel was contemporaneous with Kabbalas HaTeira, then when should the Torah talk about Chet HaEgel? At the same time, it's talking about Matan Torah. And if Parshas Kisiso is the Parsha that deals with Chet HaEgel, then Parshas Kisiso should follow Yisrei Mishpatim. And it should go Yisrei Mishpatim Kisiso. And if the Meleches HaMishkan and the Akomas HaMishkan is a kapara for Chet HaEgel, then the Parshas which deal with Meleches HaMishkan and Akomas HaMishkan, namely Truma Tetzaveh, should follow Parshas Kisiso, because they are a kapara for Parshas Kisiso. So the Seder should be Yisrei Mishpatim Kisiso Truma Tetzaveh. So why is the Seder Yisrei Mishpatim Truma Tetzaveh Kisiso is completely out of order? And I haven't yet, or as yet, found anybody who is Ma'ira this Shaila, and I think it's a very good Shaila. There's something wrong here with the Seder HaParshias. And I want to suggest something. There's a Medrash Rabbah at the onset of Parshas Truma, where the Medrash Rabbah says that B'shor Shehikdimu Yisrael Naseh L'Nishma. At the point in time when Klal Yisrael Mekabel Torah, when Klal Yisrael said Naseh L'Nishma, the Ribbono Shelolam responded to the Naseh V'Nishma of Klal Yisrael and said to them, Vayikhu li truma, collect contributions for the establishment and the building of the Mishkan. This appears at first glance to be mamish a medrash pliya. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever, Lichura. What is the connection between Klal Yisrael saying Naseh V'Nishma and the obligation that Klal Yisrael have to contribute towards the Meleches and the Akomas HaMishkan? What's one going to do with the other? And the Mefarshim already raised the question that the phraseology of the Torah in reference to the contributions that were made for the establishment and the building of the Mishkan is a very strange phraseology. Vayikhu li truma. What does vayikhu li truma mean? Vayikhu li truma means, literally translated, and you shall take for me a truma. That's not what the pasuk should say, lechura. The pasuk should say vayitnu li truma. You shall give to me a contribution. The person gives a contribution, he doesn't take a contribution. If he takes, it's not a contribution. So what's this expression of vayitnu li truma? And then the Mefarshim go even further and they say, bichlal, why on earth does the Ribbono Shel Olam require from Klal Yisrael truma, his contributions, in order to establish and to build a Mishkan? Lahavaya horetzim loya. The Ribbono Shel Olam owns everything, and if the Ribbono Shel Olam wants a Mishkan, so he will make a Mishkan. He doesn't need the contributions of Klal Yisrael in order to establish and in order to build a Mishkan. To which the Yalkut Shimoni, at the beginning of Parshas Truma, says that the Ribbono Shel Olam took contributions from Klal Yisrael to build the Mishkan as a symbolic act. This commandment was given to Klal Yisrael as a symbolic act on the part of the Ribbono Shel Olam that he wanted to show them chavivuso, his love for them. He wanted to show that he's being mechave ves bonov. He wanted to show that he loves his children. He wanted to show that he loves Klal Yisrael. He showed his love to them by taking from them donations and contributions for the Mishkan, which also is something which is strange. When you show your love to somebody, l'chura, you give him something, you don't take something from him. So, what's going on here? If you look at the history of Klal Yisrael, from the point in time, perhaps even earlier, but definitely from the point in time when Klal Yisrael descends to Egypt and becomes, I'm not talking now definitively, and I'm not talking now halachically, I'm not talking now even in a dictionary definition, but from the point in time when you can speak in general terms and say that you can start calling this group of descendants of Yaakov Klal Yisrael. From the beginning of Shibud Mitzrayim, and even prior to that, from the point in time when Klal Yisrael come into Egypt, Klal Yisrael were constantly in a situation where they were receiving. They were getting from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And they became very regular in this. They became very, very used to the idea that they get from the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave them Yetzias Mitzrayim. The fact that they were able to leave Egypt, which according to Chazal, which was something which on a purely rational, political, military level was something which was impossible. It couldn't happen. And the fact that it did happen was a matana from the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Nisim, the Niflois, that took place as preparation for this Yetziah from Mitzrayim, all that took place which enabled them to leave Mitzrayim, the miracles which happened in Mitzrayim, which were the catalyst which allowed them to leave Mitzrayim, were all part and parcel of the matonis that the Ribbono Shel Olam was giving them. The Ribbono Shel Olam was constantly giving them. The fact that they were victorious in the Milchoma with Amalek, that was a matana that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave them. The fact that they had an Amud Ha'onon in their journey around the Midbar, and that this Amud Ha'onon did things on their behalf and for them, a variety of things, all constitutes a matana which the Ribbono Shel Olam was giving them. The fact that they had an Amud Ha'esh at night was a matana from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Every single morning they received next to their door a delivery of a matana from the Ribbono Shel Olam, the man. Shabbos they got a double matana from the Ribbono Shel Olam. They got an erev Shabbos two portions of man. When they had no meat, the Ribbono Shel Olam sent them in a shamayim, and they wanted meat, they got meat. They needed water, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave them a matana, the Be'er of Miriam. They were constantly receiving and receiving and getting and receiving the whole time. And the ultimate act of Kabbalah, the ultimate act of receiving a matana from the Ribbono Shel Olam, was that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave them his Torah. Etzem Matan Torah, Matan Torah, it was a matana. The Ribbono Shel Olam was giving them another gift. It's a constant situation of giving and giving and giving. And the Ribbono Shel Olam learned from this one thing. These people are experts in getting. These people are experts in receiving. These people are experts in being mekablim. But do they know how to give? Do they have the ability to give? And do they have the midah of giving? Or are they personalities who are only takers and are not givers? Says Ribbono Shel Olam, let me see. Let me find a way of determining as to whether these people are givers or not. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants to test Klal Yisrael. And he wants to see if Klal Yisrael know how to give. So what does the Ribbono Shel Olam do? Rav Dessler writes in Michtav Me'eliyahu, when the Ribbono Shel Olam created mankind, he created man with two koichas. Man has a koich of nesina, and man has a koich of netila. Man can give, and man can take. The koich of nesina, says Rav Dessler, is a koyach elyon. Why is it a koyach elyon? Because it's one of the midas of the Ribbono Shel Olam. One of the midas of the Ribbono Shel Olam is that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives. The Ribbono Shel Olam is a merachem. The Ribbono Shel Olam is a meitiv. The Ribbono Shel Olam is a noisein, not in order to receive, but just purely to give without receiving anything in return. And when the Torah comes along and the Torah says, "B'tzelem Elikim osa es ha'adam," that man was created within the image of God, which is words, which doesn't mean anything. What does it mean, man was created in the image of God? There's a principle. If you don't understand something, and I wanted to explain it to you, then one of the ways I can do it is by giving you a moshel. But the moshel always has to be understandable, because what I'm trying to do is explain something which is not understandable by giving you a moshel which is understandable. Here the Torah is trying to explain, what did God create when God created man? Says the Torah, I'll explain to you what God created when God created man. When God created man, he created him in the image of God. But I haven't got the faintest idea what the image of God is. So what's the point in telling me that God created man in the image of God if the mashal is more complicated than the nimshal? It's not helping me, it's just making life more difficult for me. So Rav Dessler says, it can't be the pshat is that the Torah is telling us a mashal here. What the Torah is telling us when the Torah says that B'tzelem Elikim osa es ha'adam is that man was created with certain midos. And these midas are the midas of the Ribbono Shel Olam. B'tzelem Elikim, a shadow of the midas of the Ribbono Shel Olam, is the way in which the Ribbono Shel Olam created man. The Ribbono Shel Olam is a meitiv, because the Ribbono Shel Olam is the ultimate in toiv, and derech hatoiv lehetiv, as the Maram Chal says, it is the nature of toiv that it wants to be meitiv with others. And the Ribbono Shel Olam, by definition, divinity has to be the ultimate in everything. So divinity is the ultimate in Toiv. So if it's the ultimate in Toiv, it's the ultimate in Meitiv. And man was created with this midah that he has the ability to be Meitiv. He has the ability to give. And that's the pshat, says Rav Dessler, in B'tzelem Elikim, osa Adam. And that's the koach and asina that exists in man. But man was created with another midah. And that midah is the midah of netilah. That midah is the midah of taking. Says Rav Teslam, what is the definition of the midah of taking? The inherent characteristic that every single human being has, which psychologists call the uncontrollable desire for acquisition. The fact that a person constantly wants to acquire, which is totally divorced from whether he has enough or he doesn't have enough. It's a taiva bifnei atzmoi. A person wants constantly to take. A person wants constantly to bring to himself and to take for himself everything which exists within his environment. Which, says Rav Dessler, is what in modern day language is called egoism. Ahavas atzmoi. Self-love. Sekumtmir. I deserve it. Because it's attainable by me, so if it's attainable by me, I have the right to it. Says Rav Dessler, V'koyach anatila hu shoyresh kol haro'is. All the problems start because of the koyach anatila that exists within a person. The Ribbono Shel'olam saw that Klal Yisrael were mekablim. The Ribbono Shel'olam saw that they are masters in being mekablim. But are they noisnim? Are they betzelem aleikim or not? Because you can't be part of Klal Yisrael unless you have perfected self-negation. Unless you have perfected destroying egoism. Because Yiddish rite revolves around self-sacrifice. Yiddishkeit revolves around giving up something. And giving up something is giving. Sometimes you give money, sometimes you give objects, sometimes you have to give of yourself. Negation of the ego is an act of giving. Being misgaber on a person's natural midos is an act of giving. Being misgaber on a midorah, which is a sacrifice, that's called giving. Being misgaber on a taiva, that's called giving. If a person is willing to be makriv, then he has the ability to be zeicha in Torah and to be zeicha in mitzvahs. Every single maisa chesed that a person does, anything which involves chesed, it's an act of nesina which is rooted in the nefesh ha'odom, because b'tzelem aleikim nivra ha'odom. Somebody who can withstand the trial of being a taker, somebody who's an expert in taking, but can't stand up to the nisoyan of giving, can't stand up to the nisoyan of Yiddishkeit. It's impossible. If a person exists in this world and is totally consumed in his mind by what his rights are, by what he's owed, by what he believes he should get, and there is absolutely no focus on what his obligations are, on what he has to give, on what he has to contribute, he can't be a chelik of Klal Yisrael. And he definitely can't be a chelik of Teres Yisrael. Vayikhu li truma is an integral part of Kabbalah HaTorah. You can't be Mekabel Torah without being a contributor. Which is why the parsha of Truma comes immediately following the parshas of Yisrael Mishpatim, which deal with Kabbalah Satera, because Vayikholi Truma is an integral part of Kabbalah Satera. There is no Kabbalah Satera without having the ability of giving. Kol Zman, the two parshas of Truma and Tetzava, which are talking about the Akoma and the Meleches HaMishkan, which all revolves around Klal Yisrael giving, haven't finished, the parsha of Kabbalah Satera hasn't yet finished. Because this is all part and parcel of the parsha of Kabbalah Satera. Rav Dessler, if you look carefully in what he writes in his Maimon and Kuntres HaChesed in Chelek Aleph, says that a person has to know a number of fundamental principles. And the first principle that a person has to know is that everybody, as we said, has within him a spark, what he calls a nitzutz, a spark of the koyach of nesina. Every person has it naturally. The raya is that a person cannot survive without other people, because he needs other people in order that he can be a noisim. That's why a jail sentence is considered a punishment, says Rav Dessler, because you are divorced from society. And that's why in a jail, solitary confinement is the highest punishment within a jail. Because to put a person on his own, where he hasn't got the ability to be menatzel, to use, to utilize, the nitzitz of the koyach hanesina which is in him, is debilitating, because a person naturally wants to give. Says Rav Dessler, true, the ability, the desire to give is something which exists naturally within the person. But the nature of people is that they give for individuals or ideas or ideologies that they like. One is a noisen, says Rav Dessler, to that which one is oihev. Says Rav Dessler, what comes first? The horse or the cart? Is Nesina an outcome of Ava, or is Ava an outcome of Nesina? To which, says Rav Dessler, the world will tell you that it's obvious. Nesina is an outcome of Ava. You like someone, you give to them. The Nesina is an outcome of the Ava. Says Rav Dessler, Chazal say the exact opposite. In Maseches Derech Eretz Zuta, Chazal say, Im chofetz ato lehidovek b'ha'avas chavercha. If you want to get close to someone, if you want to have a good friend, have a noisei v'noisein b'teivosai, give him. Because giving, says Rav Dessler, creates avo. Marriage problems, says Rav Dessler, start when each side wants to be a makabel. When each side says, what can I get out of this? Marriage is last when each side says, what can I put into this? What can I give? If you're a nason, it creates ava. If you're a makabo, it creates sino. Says Rav Dessler, this is the second principle. Anything which a person gives, he doesn't lose by it, because it extends his personality outwards. He becomes close to the person that he gave, or to the idea that he gave to. And that's the definition of Ava, says Rav Dessler. Becoming close through giving. Says Rav Dessler, the second yesod, which it's important to know, is that the whole of Avodas Hashem is built around the concept of Hakaras HaTov. It's built around the concept of a debt of gratitude. In all the Svarim, says Rav Dessler, a person is required to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for the tavis which the Ribbono Shel Olam did to him. And even when it comes to the basic mitzvahs, the Torah already formulates it in such a way. Anoich Hashem Aleikecha. Why do you have a chiyuv and a mitzvah of emunah? Asher etzeisicho mi'aretz Mitzrayim. Because you owe me a debt of gratitude that I took you out of Mitzrayim. And I took you out of a beis avodim. In other words, hakaras hatov. Because if a person is makir tovah to the Ribbono Shel Olam and he gives to the Ribbono Shel Olam, what happens? Ava. He becomes connected with the Ribbono Shel Olam. When the Nosen gives, he becomes dovuk to the Mekabel. So the whole yesod of Avas Hashem is being a Nosen to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Gemara says in Sota that there is a mitzvah saseh midoraisa, achrei Hashem elikeichem telchu. Ask the Gemara, v'chiev shelo iliodum lahalechach ashkina, how can you follow the Shechina? But like Kvarnem, the Pasuk says that Hashem elikecha eishoich lo, it's an abstract concept, how can you follow the Ribbono Shel Olam? Elohelechach amidoisov shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mahu malbisharumi mafato malbisharumi. Mahu rachu mafato rachum. Follow the midas of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam was mevaker achayla. You also have to be mevaker achayla. Says Rav Dessler, there is an obligation on a person that he has to create, that he should be the type of personality that is a noisei. He has to build his personality that he should become a personality of a noisei. In order, or as an outcome, of his desire to be medame himself and to be medavik in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Through Nesina, a person becomes connected with the Ribbono Shel Olam, his Makai in the mitzvah of Achrei Hashem Aleikeichem Telchu. When Klal Yisrael Magdim Nase V'Nishma, when Klal Yisrael said, we're willing to be Mekabel Torah, say Chazal, and this is what the Yalkut means. The Ribbono Shel Olam said to them, you're willing to be Mekabel Torah, part and parcel of being Mekabel Torah is to be Medama yourself to me, part and parcel of Kiyum HaTorah is Dveikus in the Ribbono Shel Olam. And to be dovuk in me, you have to become a noisen. Therefore, you said Nasa v'nishma that you want to become part of Chal Yisroel v'ikchol Yitrumo. And when you give, you should know you're not doing anybody any favors other than yourself, because you're building yourself as a personality of a giver. And therefore, it's v'ikchol. It's not just a v'yitnu; it's also a v'ikchol. And that lichura is why, after the parsha of Kabbalah Satira and the parsha of Hakomis HaMishkan, which is all part and parcel of Kabbalah Satira, and then there is a Chet HaEgel, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, don't worry about it. Why? Because the whole Chet HaEgel is something lacking in Avos Habira. If you would be Ayav Hashem, you would never have created another God. So you're lacking something in your Avos Hashem. Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, no problem. Just keep being nice to him and it'll come back. The Avos Hashem will come back. I'm not worried about it. Rabbeinu, I want to say one thing. And I think it's choshev yediyah. It's choshev to know this. Nesina doesn't mean giving, in the sense that you have to take something out of your pocket and you have to give it. Nesina means giving in a much wider sense. Every individual, particularly in the yeshiva, has the ability to give. The fact that you sit in a Beis HaMedrash, which therefore could theoretically, feasibly inspire somebody else to also sit in the Beis HaMedrash, is an act of Nesina. You're giving. You're contributing. Nesina means contribution. Rav Dessler says a remarkable point. I always say that the Baal HaTanya says that you have to learn out from the parasha of the Shavua something which is relevant. So let's be Maspid Alex. Let's be Maspid the cat. Rav Dessler says a myriadic yasod. Rav Dessler says every single person is a noising. Every single person has a nitzutz of nesina in himself. He wants to give. Says Rav Dessler, what's the raya? He says, people who rachmana litzlan have no children will adopt. Why will they adopt? Because the keach and nesina, the nitzutz of nesina, they have to give. He says, that's why there's a natural desire by people to have children, because a child is something you can give to. And therefore, people who rachman islam don't have children, what do? They adopt children. Or they're megadol yosim bebeisai. Says Rav Dessler, what does a goy do? He has a pet. And he treats his pet as if it was his child. Why? Because he needs a bitui, says Rav Dessler. He needs an expression to his koyach hanesina. Which means the following. Somebody who has an expression for his koyach hanesina, he doesn't have to find artificial means to express his koyach hanesina. Because he has his ways of being expressing his koyach hanesina. He has his natural children, so he doesn't have to adopt. But somebody who doesn't have, in the format that he's living in, a natural expression of his nesina where it should be, he has to find an area to be able to actualize his nitzutz of nesina. Statistically, proven, without doubt, forget about Behemoth Tmeus and all the Kabbalistic involvement of anybody who ever touched this thing, right? Probably needs 25 gulim to get out of the tumor, but we're not going to go into that, right? We will leave that aside, right? We're not Mekubalim, and we're not going to worry about that. I'm not going to talk about the Koyach HaTumah that exists in these animals. Forget that. I'm talking about something else. Statistically proven. Anybody who was noisein in this Beis HaMedrash didn't need the late departed ex-bocher. They didn't need him because they had their way of being and expressing their nesina by sitting by a gemara, by doing a ma'aseh chesed, by doing what the Torah defines as being a nesina. It was only those guys who had absolutely no contribution of the nesina whatsoever in the right area. They needed to adopt something. So they found in a garbage can what to adopt. It says something about them.